The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
It does. It settles in your soul. How you doing, everybody? This is Terry Raposa, Jefferson State of Mind, broadcasting live from KCNR 96.5 FM, where the music does sound better, and 1460 AM. If you have a question or comment, the phone number here is 530-605-4567, 605-4567. We are at KCNR1460.com, streaming live worldwide, and we archive every program. My partner, Wynn Carpenter, is on assignment, but I am here with Travis, the Hat Man. How are you, brother?
I'm good. Good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Doing really good. Had an interesting time yesterday. A bunch of folks got together. We cooked up some hot dogs out at the park.
Ooh.
Reading Park, hot dogs and chili, and had cookies for the kids, and we had face painting for the kids and stuff. And we did a 9/11 honoring to where first responders could come in and get a sandwich or, you know, some food, and it was great. It was a great time for everybody. It's nice to remember that happened. Well, it's not nice to remember it.
Yeah.
It's nice to get people together to understand that at least during that one day, this country was united. Now we have a division in this country that's certainly not being helped by this president, a president who is upset, angry with the American people for not being vaxxed, when you're talking about being vaccinated for a virus where there is a 99.1% or a 98% chance of survival if you get it. And in a lot of cases, you know, you can get the vaccine now. You get that vaccine, and in fact, gosh, the San Francisco Giants couldn't even field their starting pitching staff for the last series they're in, even though they had all been fully vaccinated. Couldn't even field two of their starters because they both had COVID again. Really and seriously. I mean, I was in the store the other day. I got to tell you this, Travis. You're going to like this.
Okay.
I'm in the grocery store. I'm standing there in the grocery store, and I'm standing in line, and a couple of guys behind me, and one guy gets too close to the other guy, and he goes, "Oh, man, I'm really sorry." And he goes, "Oh, man, that's cool." Now, to describe these individuals, they were unique, to say the least. One of them was holding a couple of 12 packs of soft drinks. Interesting. He had, I don't know, he was probably 50-ish, mustache, long hair, but he had his hair was pink. He had, you know how they color the green, pink, purple? His was pink. And he said, "Oh, man, I'm sure glad the government at least taught us something here. We need to give our space, man, so I'm not in your face and you're not in my face." And, man, I go, "Yeah," I go, and I said, turn around, I couldn't help myself. I said, "Gee whiz, it sure is nice we have the government around to teach us our own responsibility, isn't it?"
Uh-oh.
And he goes, "Oh, yeah, man, it's great." I go, "Well," I go, "gosh, maybe it's nice that they want to start mandating a vaccine." He goes, "Man, I've had two of them."
Different companies or just
No, he's had two vaccines.
Oh, gosh.
He's like, okay. I read online the other day that somebody couldn't wait to get theirs. It's like, what? You know, and the boosters, of course, you get your vaccine, then you get a booster, and then you get another booster, and I guess in 6 months you get another booster.
Right, right.
And to me, the absurdity and the insanity of this whole thing is just, I know I kind of digress on this, I'm getting on a tangent here, but it just makes me crazy on how stupid people are.
Yeah.
Really and truly. I mean, God gave you a mechanism to fight off disease.
Yeah, a lot of people have had it. I've had it. I'm fine. People I work with, they've had it. They're all fine. I don't personally see the necessity of the vaccine itself.
Well, yeah.
I'm not anti-vaccine, just anti-vax. You know, well, there's a difference there.
Exactly.
You know.
Sure. And it is people's choice.
Right.
Not a mandate by the government. With what they're going to come into businesses over, what, 100 people, and, mm-hmm. and OSHA is going to pop in there if you have over 100 people under your employment and they're not vaccinated, what, it's 14,000
a day? Yep.
Oh, that's BS.
It's either get the vaccine or a negative test every Friday or every week.
You know, where's our government going? I was at the Carlos Zapata, Nathan Pinckney trial the other day, and I'm amazed to see that something that would, even if it was true, would be a low-level misdemeanor, that now is going to be costing taxpayers somewhere in the neighborhood of probably $250,000 to get this thing done. And we have felons. We have felons sitting in jail. I mean, you know, assault with a deadly weapon, you know, rape, you know, you name it, armed robbery. I mean, and they're waiting trial, whereas the DA, Stephanie Bridget, is wanting to spend all this money on something. The one thing that they have, I think, that the one thing that they've shown that they've proven is that there was water flying through the air.
Huh.
Water flying through the air. You can't beat that one.
Mm-mm.
There was water flying through the air. A couple questions I'd have. One of the things I would ask is if the glass was thrown, did it break on the floor? Has a glass? Where's the bruise? Oh, wait, he didn't have a bruise from a glass. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't know much about the case.
It's wild.
Man.
It's wild. It's just wild that the perspective of the district attorney and I know that Carlos did ask for this. He wasn't going to accept a plea bargain, but can you blame him if you're innocent?
Right.
Why would it even go there? The police report clearly shows that Carlos was not the aggressor. That it shows that Nathan Pinckney was the aggressor. So, you know, you kind of just scratch your head and you go, what's going on here? I mean, there are so many people that are whacked out in our society right now. You really wonder. And it leads you to think about Leonard Modi. And it leads you to think about Mary Rickert and Joe Comente, but really Leonard Modi. When you stop and you look at, here's a guy who's being supported by Nathan Pinckney and many, many, many other people that are very, very, very far left, people with ties to Antifa, people with ties to Black Lives Matter, yet he claims to be a Republican, and he really isn't at all. He's a rhino. But not even that, worse than that, here's a guy that even reached out to Nathan Pinckney as a sitting supervisor, using his power as a sitting supervisor, reaches out to Nathan Pinckney to help him with the TRO. I don't even believe that Nathan Pinckney was even one of his constituents in his district. Now, isn't that a little bit of abuse of power? When you go on the record and you go to the newspaper and you go to the media saying you're going to help Nathan Pinckney with the TRO, isn't that showing that Carlos Zapata is guilty till proven innocent? So in doing that, you kind of scratch your head and you go, how in the world is that even legal? Well, guess what? It's not. Title 18, Code Section 242. It's an abuse of power. As it was when Leonard Modi went behind the lines of the car fire, went back behind the lines, sometimes as much as twice a day, or have somebody do it for him, to where he went back and filled up his generator, take care of his home, after he had been on the record and live and all over the news telling people don't disrupt the flow of our responders, of our firemen, of our police, of our sheriff's department. Don't go behind the lines or you will be arrested. He never got arrested. In fact, he even went back and got wine back there. Hmm. Yeah.
I couldn't believe that when you guys first talked about that. It was interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, come on. And people's homes, and, you know, I know there was an antique fire engine back there that belonged to Stephanie Bridget. But according to her, she said that they got that out before that edict came down. I think. Don't know. But we'll find out. You know, tomorrow at 9 o'clock on Mountaintop Media, Mountaintop Media, all one word, or you can watch it on Facebook, Jefferson State of Mine, M-I-N-E, Facebook page. We'll be doing a podcast with Mountaintop Media. We're going to talk a little bit about the Declaration of Independence. Now, a lot of people, when you start talking about different things with the Constitution and law and all that good stuff, they kind of start pulling their eyelashes out, going, oh, this is going to be complicated. It won't be complicated, folks, I promise you. it'll be something to where we're going to use the Declaration of Independence, especially the first two paragraphs, and show the parallel into what's happening in your life right now, in your county right now, in your city right now. You know, one of the things that's interesting about the Declaration of Independence is that that was written as a, you know, as a process of separation, because the country of the United States was formed separating from England, as everybody knows, Great Britain. The deal with that is that because of all the egregious, tyrannical movements of the English government, actually the king, kind of like King Newsom, caused a separation, a just separation. Well, we have the Declaration of Independence in our country, and we have the Constitution in the United States, and those are the lines in the sand. Those are the reasons, the lines in the sand, that we now have our government, our republic, the United States of America. Now, when we look at that, the understanding of the fact that we have already had a revolution means now we have to have a restoration of what we already have. And I know I've said it 100 times, you know, I get mocked by Donnie Chamberlain. Oh, you know, he's always talking about a restoration instead of a resolution. That's because that's what it is, Donnie. It's a restoration of our rights, your rights, all our rights. And the understanding of that, the power of understanding that, is something that we'll be talking about. Last week on the podcast that we have on Mountaintop Media, we talked about the constitutional sheriff. Well, shouldn't every sheriff be constitutional? And I know that Richard Mack used that particular branding, that coined name, to show a sheriff that was following the Constitution. But aren't they all elected to follow the Constitution? Don't they take an oath of office to follow the Constitution? So since they take that oath, then you take that oath seriously. And you've read the Constitution of your said state, and you've read the Constitution of the United States, and you're adhering to that. Why would you have to be labeled anything? Shouldn't you just be that? I'm going to read a little bit from the Declaration of Independence. I'll tease you a little bit about what we're going to talk about tomorrow. But I want to read this to you. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate an equal station to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to opinions of mankind require that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. So basically, what Jefferson's saying there is that he's going to list the causes of why. He's going to list the causes of why there needs to be separation. Again, we are looking at a restoration of all these great things the founders gave us. And we look at this thing as a whole to restore those things that are meaningful. At the local level, it's been atrocious. I mean, everything from the Board of Supervisors allowing people back in the chambers but taking all the chair seats out. You know, I mean, it's just insanity. The idea of, you know, again, Leonard Mody being the only person on either side that has been really found guilty of anything by the grand jury when he went behind the lines. Was that malfeasance? Would you have been arrested for going through the lines and getting your stuff and turning on your generator? I would submit you would be. In fact, I know you would have been. But worse yet, using the sheriff department, using the undersheriff, using McGreeny to go back there and do it. I mean, what the hell, you guys? How do we not see the corruption of what's going on? And how does this not tie in? We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and they're endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving from their just powers, from the consent of the governed. And whenever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it and to institute new government. Now, let's look at that. Let's look at that a little bit. We hold these truths to be self-evident. Now, what does that mean? Beautiful word, isn't it? Self-evident means that you do not need proof. Self-evident means it's self-evident. It's there without proof. You don't need proof. The second thing that really is interesting there is it says, among these unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Among these. Well, I wonder what some of the other ones are. And we'll talk about that tomorrow on the podcast with Mountaintop Media. We'll go into that. We'll talk about how government is formed for only one reason. That's to protect the sovereign's rights, to protect the citizen's rights. Colt, how are you, my friend? What say you?
Good. How are you?
Good.
I was just listening to you. And you said among these, but we could also find a list of what they meant by among these in the Constitution, which are the rights that the government cannot touch.
Right.
You wanted to talk about some local issues. You wanted to talk, I mean, last time we saw each other, we were sitting in a trial that's probably costing the taxpayers $250,000. And that was Wednesday, I believe, right? Thursday. Yeah, a trial that's costing the taxpayers probably $250,000, and the only thing we know for certain is that water flew through the air. That's it. you and I were just talking about that yesterday.
Yeah, it's
an excellent point.
It's pretty crazy, you know, when you really look at this, and you look at, you know, the amount of money being spent. But I think my question is with the district attorney, how she is spending our taxpayer money is just the minute part of it of what the hell is going on. I mean, she sent out two investigators to see Elizabeth McEwen, whose husband is works for the Highway Patrol. I believe he's a helicopter spotter. And with two young kids, upstanding citizen, impeccable citizen, Ronine Lund, who works for the state, who's another impeccable citizen. But she took the time to pay and send out her overworked investigators to go visit these two women.
Understaffed, underpaid. Yeah, we've heard it all. There's not enough resources, but for some reason we can find the resources to do this. To prosecute an alleged assault with no injury.
Well, yeah, that's the other part, too. I mean, what's the deal there? I mean, the police report was public. At least the report that they put out was public showed that at least in their report, it shows that Carlos Zapata was not the aggressor. So why would that even go on? And the other part about Modi helping Nathan Pinckney with his TRO, I mean, his temporary restraining order, I mean, seriously? Using his power, a usurper. I mean, this guy, these are felonies.
So my question, Terry, is why doesn't he use some of that power and help the rest of his constituents? I mean, there's people that don't want the government to force them to do something that they don't want to do, and he goes, oh, no, we're powerless when it comes to that, but when it comes to Nathan, we'll exercise our power to help him out there.
Yeah. Yeah. He used power in something that really was highly irregular. He was helping, he was showing by using his position as a supervisor, he was basically making the statement that Carlos Zapata was guilty by reaching out.
Exactly, yeah.
By reaching out to someone who wasn't even his constituent. So you kind of scratch your head and you go, oh, my God, what is going on here?
And you'd think that somebody with 31 years in law enforcement would know these things.
You think? I want to get back to this conversation. I have Stephen on the other line, and we're going to put him on for a second, I think, here. And so we have him on the other line. So, Colt, You may not be able to hear him because sometimes the phones work like that. So anyway, Stephen, what say you?
Hi, I'm calling about a phone call I made to your pharmacy a while back.
I don't have a pharmacy. I don't have a pharmacy. I don't have a pharmacy, never had a pharmacy. That's insane. Anyway, I'm not going to even go into that. And, by the way, we did have a phone call during the break that, involved a lot of, expletives and things like that from somebody, and that has been reported. So anyway, getting back to what you were saying, Colt,
yeah.
Go ahead.
I didn't hear the other caller. But
that's okay. Nothing to hear.
But no, I can hear you now.
Good.
Something's got to be done about it, Terry. And what it comes down to is the people who are paying for this
mm-hmm.
are the taxpayers,
mm-hmm.
The people who really have no involvement. The taxpayers, we're losing our money. We're losing about $250,000 roughly every time they try something like this. But meanwhile, while they're using the resources on this case, we have other actual criminals that could be getting put behind bars, like people who try and kidnap children, people who try child molesters, murderers, rapists. We can get those guys, but no, we're just going to waste our money on this, and that should really burn everybody, really.
Yeah. Well, you know, you're right, and you know, we talked about those inalienable rights, and it's, you know, when we look at what the supervisors have done, for example, you know, Article 1, Section 1 of the California Constitution. First of all, the preamble is pretty interesting. We, the people of the state of California, grateful to Almighty God for our freedom in order to secure and perpetuate its blessings, do establish this Constitution. Thankful to Almighty God. Pretty interesting first sentence. The other thing, in Section 1 of the Constitution of California, okay, and is there there's something going on in the background there, buddy? You know, is that your radio in the back? Or?
No, there shouldn't be.
Okay, anyway. All the people. Okay, Section 1. All people are by nature free and independent and have inalienable rights. We talked about that with the Declaration of Independence at the beginning of the program. Among these are enjoying and defending life and liberty, acquiring, possessing, and protecting property, and pursuing and obtaining safety, happiness, and privacy. Now, how was that absolutely unadhered to by the Board of Supervisors? Well, for one thing, you can't defend your life, liberty, and your property if you're being obstructed and being having a mandate in which they are putting us in a position to where we can't even use our God-given rights, you know.
They want to make it as hard on people who don't want to get this vaccine. They want to make life hard on them until they finally do comply.
Well,
they
Sutter
County, mm-hmm.
right? Well, Sutter County just passed a resolution. You know, they had pressure, and this is what a board of supervisors should do. And I realize a resolution doesn't really have a lot of teeth, but the idea is that they've made the statement that they will not accept. In other words, you know, they are not going to follow any mandate that has anything to do with a vax passport, a vax card. They're not going to do that. They're not going to subjugate their medical industry to that. They're not going to subjugate people to that. And I think that was just such a great move on Sutter County's part. So they get an attaboy on that.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, it's another thing, too, that I think is really been interesting is that the Board of Supervisors has tried to stymie free speech. At one particular point in time, Chairman Comente had made the comment that, you know, you may no longer, which I can't believe he even did this, you may no longer comment on any agendized item except in public comment. And we've got about a minute to the break. Colt, if you want to hold on, that'd be great. But we've got about a minute to the break, so I'm going to go ahead and let Travis take it now. and then we'll be back in just a minute or two. So anyway, folks, time has come for 51, and Colt, hang on, brother. We need to get this done.
Where were you when the world stopped turning on that September day? Teaching a class full of innocent children, or driving down some cold interstate? Did you feel guilty 'cause you're a survivor? In a crowded room, did you feel alone? Did you call up your mother and tell her you loved her? Did you dust off that Bible at home? Did you open your eyes and hope it never happened? Close your eyes and not go to sleep. Did you notice the sunset first time in ages? Speak to some stranger on the street. Did you lay down at night, think of tomorrow, go out and buy you a gun? Did you turn off that violent old movie you're watching and turn on I Love Lucy reruns? Did you go to a church and hold hands with some strangers, stand in line and give your own blood? Did you just stay home and cling tight to your family? Thank God you had somebody to love.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Southern Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Filotto, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
American girls and American guys, we'll always stand up and salute. We'll always recognize when we see your glory flying. There's a lot of men dead, so we can sleep in peace at night when we lay down our heads. My daddy served in the army. We lost his right eye, but he flew a flag out in.
Thank you, Sally Lou. I'm sure you're the one who did that. Anyway, Colt, you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Anyway, as we were saying, we were talking about how the Board of Supervisors had made it, was trying to pass a motion that, and it was actually brought forth by Joe Comente, that people may not speak to agendized items, which has always been the procedure, always everywhere, that when there's an agendized item on the calendar, that every person can speak freely that way on that. I mean, that's also in the California Constitution, That's, you know, and that's the thing. The, you know, the people have the right to instruct their representatives. This is Section 3, Article 1, Section 3A. The people have the right to instruct their representatives, petition government for redress of grievances, and assemble freely to consult for the common good. The people have the right to access to information concerning the conduct of the people's business, and therefore the meetings of the public bodies and writings of the public shall be open to public scrutiny. Now, right there, he violated that. Now, he overturned his own motion, you know, a week later, or the next meeting, he overturned his own motion, because you just can't do that. And to be in a situation where you're just, I mean, you're just usurping people's rights left and right,
yeah,
and not knowing that is unbelievable. We do have another caller on, Colt. Hold your thought on that. It's Rich. Rich, what say you, sir? Rich, are you there?
Well, I'm here. I thought Colt was ahead of me. Yes.
No, he's on with you. Go ahead, buddy.
Oh, I got a couple of issues here. Hey, I have an update on the district attorney. Remember, went back in May. I submitted a request for her to investigate the Board of Supervisor closed session violations during 2020. Here's the update. Okay, I have no update. She's still ignoring me. So, yeah, 4 months later, still no action by the district attorney on that matter. Anyways, hey, the city council last week, if everybody is aware, they were going to, under our noses, sell the entirety of the Turtle Bay land area to McConnell. And once I researched the Brown Act, yeah, they were going to violate the Brown Act because they're required to have an open session regarding the real estate matters prior to their closed session on those same real estate matters. So Tuesday, when very few folks showed up because it was a 5 o'clock meeting, hard to show up at the end of the workday right there. Yeah, they tabled it and said, okay, we're going to have an open session meeting. Okay, don't do us any favors, city council. Okay, you've been caught with your hand in the cookie jar. So at least now they're going to do the right thing and hold it in open session. So I hope when that gets calendared, just a whole bunch of people show up.
Yeah, I hope so, too. Anyway, is that all you got, buddy? You got anything else, or?
One thing, yeah.
Sure,
This coming Tuesday, the County Board of Supervisor meeting, they have a resolution to send a strongly worded letter to the governor about state mandates for vaccines. So basically the letter in the resolution says they strongly oppose state mandated vaccine requirements. But then at the bottom of the letter in the resolution says, oh, but we understand we're under an emergency and the executive orders and the health officer orders. So basically it says we oppose it, but we're still going to do it because you say so. What a farce. What a farce. And that's all I have.
Thanks, Rich. Have a good day, buddy. So, Colt, if you've got folks in there, I don't know whether you're sitting around the breakfast table or what, but if you can mute your phone, that'd be good.
Oh,
yeah, because there's a lot of, this picks up everything. It picks up all the conversation. So anyway, getting back to what we were talking about, you were going to make a comment on the fact that the, Board of Supervisors had really overreached and created a situation where they were actually taking away our freedom of speech. And one other thing I want to read you, then I want to get your comment. Section 2A, this is the California Constitution, Article 1, Section 2A. Every person may freely...
I was just looking at that one, yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to bring up 2A.
Okay, yeah. Every person may speak freely, write, and publish his or her sentiments on all subjects. Being responsible for the abuse of this right, a law may not restrain or abridge liberty of speech or press. Now, Joe Comenti violated that in saying that certain words couldn't be used. Now, if words are used in behavior, and the words are used in behavior that stops a meeting because there's behavior by the person using those words, that's a crime. That's 403 in the penal code because you're disrupting a meeting if it forces them to stop or stop their meeting, blah, 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 blah. It's a low-level misdemeanor.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they even did that. So what say you, my friend?
So you look at the last part of that, of section Article 1, Section 2A, it says a law may not restrain or abridge liberty of speech or press. So my question is wouldn't that be, well, they're in violation of the California Constitution, but wouldn't it be a violation of Title 18, 242 as well,
no.
The United States Code?
No.
No?
And here's why. Because, first of all, the law would have to be passed. They never passed a law. They did a motion. What they're saying is they're trying to pass a motion. They're not restricting, and even if they were, it's still a federal crime. I don't know if it stretches to that. I mean, you could.
Yeah.
You could maybe you have a point. Maybe you could, but I don't know if that's, if you can stretch that, because they did take it back too, you know.
Yeah, they did take it back.
That'll
be Shasta Forward's new slogan. Well, we took it back.
Well, yeah, Shasta Forward, that's an interesting, I'm glad you brought that up, because we've had people, you know, come into town, Eric Eisenheimer being one, I believe it's Placer County he's out of, and I know that he's been engaged with the Republican Party for a long time. But my question is why would he want to go after somebody like Patrick Jones, which he did in an article that was just recently written? Why would he go after Patrick Jones in lieu of somebody like Leonard Modi, who only has people on the left, strong, you know, people on the left supporting him, only people that are diametrically opposed with alleged affiliations to Antifa, to Black Lives Matter, felonies. These people are all on the far left. Why would someone like Eric Eisenhower go after a fiscally conservative, a very constitutionally minded Republican? Why would he go after that Republican and not one who was a rhino? And why would he come here from Placer County? And why would he allege the FPPC or try to bring that back up against Red, White, and Blueprint, who was an LLC? They're a for-profit company. Why would he do that?
He's got to be a rhino or getting paid very, very well.
Well, I think I know him well enough. I think. I don't know whether that's the maybe the money's the motivation. But, wow, that Shasta Forward must have a lot of money then, because I know that Eric certainly isn't a pauper.
Yeah, I think it's crazy, because if you want to look at the money raised, recall Shasta's raised way more than Shasta Forward.
Well, we don't know that. See, here's the other thing too.
what's been reported, yeah.
Yeah, because see, they didn't have to report till August 1st.
Exactly.
Okay, now when they did their 410, they did a 410 for him. And the 410 form that we saw, which was, you know, basically you're starting, you know, you're applying for that with the FPPC so that you can be in a position to where you can, you know, support candidates, blah, 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 blah. There's three names listed on there. And the three names listed on there were their signatures. Well, the three names that are listed are Caventi, Modi, and Rickard. The signatures are three. And I've seen some of the signatures before, but they're redacted. They're redacted. They have a nice big black line through them. And one of them at the end, you can see this little curl at the end where a certain supervisor signs their name that way. And you wonder how that any of that can be legal. Now, here's the kicker. The 410 and the people representing, you know, money-wise and all that good stuff and helping them with that are the same people that helped Megan and Brian Daly, that are helping Shasta Forward. Now, the other thing is, Shasta Forward didn't have to come out with the money that they raised till August 1st, and I think that they don't have to do it again till December something, I think. I know that Linda Kim will know. Maybe somebody can ask her that on the next program. But Linda will know. But I do know that there's been FPPC questions, and nobody has heard anything, whether it be Shasta Recall or Red, White, and Blueprint, for months. And again,
if
I'm not.
If they were still investigating, they would have had to have responded by now. It's been too long, Terry.
Yes, sir. And I don't know.
There's nothing going on.
Right. And so I don't know what that time frame is. Again, Linda probably knows that if somebody wants to call into Sovereign Minds, our next program, and do that. But I think that I think you raise a good point there. Now, you know, there's so many different things going on here. What are some of your other thoughts, my friend?
Another thought of mine on the Shasta Forward thing is you're seeing three supervisors form a committee to go against the very people that they're supposed to be representing. And they launch attack ads against those very same people they're supposed to be representing. So my question is how anybody can still not want to recall them or want them in office. It is beyond me, Terry. I mean, they don't represent us. That's how it is, and they formed a committee that proves that.
Yeah, and, you know, one of the biggest single donor, at least that was shown on their last report, was the Reading Chamber of Commerce. Now,
I believe it was $6,000.
Yes, sir. And make no mistake on that. The Reading Chamber of Commerce, this is their board, not the people who are the rank and file. I know that there's several businesses that have called us, many businesses that are now leaving the Reading Chamber of Commerce because Jake Mangus and his minions have put together a situation where they are speaking for the whole chamber, and they'll say, well, no, we're just speaking for the board here. We're just speaking for our little pack here, our little C4, C3, whatever. I think it's a C3 here. Well, no, you're not, because when you talk about the Chamber of Commerce, people assume, and you know they assume, that that means businesses in Reading. Now, if you're a business in Reading and you want to have a position to where you want to recall these guys, you should be able, as a free citizen, you should be able constitutionally to say, yeah, I want to recall these guys. If you have a position the other way and you don't want to recall them, you should have that position too. But you also, as a business, have your reasoning is, I don't want to even comment on this or have my name affiliated with what you guys are doing here as far as giving the money away and saying, because I don't, you know, making the donation, because I have customers on both sides, and I don't want to mess with my customers. But see, they didn't get that choice.
Yeah.
If you belong to the Chamber of Commerce and you're a business out there, or if you know a business out there, if you're listening to this program and you know a business out there, that business, if they have got a position that is either, I don't really want to be, I don't want to go there, I want to be independent of this whole recall deal, which I think you probably should take aside, but that's just my opinion. If you are a person saying, you know, because I've got people on both sides that, you know, I have as customers and I don't want to offend anybody, blah, 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 then you should have the right to do that. If you're for the recall, you should have a right to say that. There shouldn't be anybody, including Jake Mangus and his crew, I mean, it's just beyond the pale how corrupt this is, should be able to not give more money than any other single donor, at least at that point on what they reported in early August. At least at that point, how in the heck can you justify supporting something that is making political stands for you? How can you justify that? I would submit that the Chamber of Commerce, if you have a membership at the Chamber of Commerce and you don't like what they did, you need to get out of the Chamber of Commerce. That's what I think, because I know several businesses are doing that as we speak. Now, if you agree with what they did, great. Everybody has a choice. If you don't agree, you need to pull out. And on top of that, if you don't want your opinion even to be mentioned or be affiliated with any type of political situation, then guess what? You need to pull out. I've never seen so much corruption in a county and in all these different organizations that we have seen here. And believe me, I'm going to tell everybody right now, episode 6 of the Red, White, and Blueprint is going to be a bombshell. Episode 6, Red, White, and Blueprint, a bombshell.
Well, now you're getting my hopes up, so.
Well, the thing is
thing
is,
I would like to,
Well, look, we're set. Go ahead.
Sorry. I was going to touch on one thing you said. You said that, in your opinion, it's time to choose sides. But I also hold the same opinion. It is time to pick what side you're going to be on, because you've got the side of liberty and you've got the side that advocates against liberty and individual sovereignty. So it is time to choose a side, and it's time to stand up for that side.
You're right. You know, and, you know, you've got one other thing I've seen that really has been kind of a mind blower for me. You know, I was over on Bocelli Lane. I went up North Bocelli. And there's all these folks outside where they're supposed to get tested, or they're supposed to, you know, they're supposed to get a vax and all that stuff. And they're out there, and they've got their kids with them, little kids with masks. And it just makes me ill. Anyway, we have Rally Sally. Hey, darling, how you doing?
Hello.
Hey, Sal.
Hey, I just wanted to chime in and remind people that this is the week on Tuesday, September 14th, that Gavin Newsom can be recalled. And I just wanted to let the folks know that if they are voting to recall Gavin Newsom, they should also vote to recall our boards of supervisors, Modi, Rickert, and Cometti, because they did everything that Gavin Newsom wanted them to do. So if they didn't like what Gavin Newsom was mandating, his illegal and illawful, you know, decrees, then they should vote to sign the recall petition when they find them out in the neighbors. And then I just want to make one more point about Modi with his issue with the car fire and being charged with misfeasance. This took 3 years for it to come out because the car fire happened 3 years ago. So how many other things has he done that we don't know about? Because he feels like he is not accountable to anybody and nobody's going to find out.
Boy, that's a great point. That's a great point. It's been that long, 3 years, huh?
Yeah, 3 years since the car fire, and we just now know about it.
Wow. Wow.
So, all right, good show. Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye, hon. So, yeah, I mean, that's a great point. I mean, 3 years, I mean, who knows what else this guy's done. But the point is that how can anybody in their right mind vote for somebody? How is this guy still in office? Folks, he was found guilty of misfeasance, of using the power of his office to direct the undersheriff at the time to take him behind the car lines for his own personal gain. Come on! Come on! And then he comes out in the paper and instructs somebody who has been a felon on how to get a TRO against somebody by using his authority and his power. Come on. Who cannot see who this guy is, what he is? Unbelievable to me. Unbelievable to me. You know, frankly, some people have said, well, you know, if he does step down, let's say he resigns, even if he resigns, that the governor would pick. That's right, folks. If a supervisor resigns, the governor picks it. But, you know, I don't think we can do much worse. Even if Newsom does pick somebody else, I don't think we can do much worse. In fact, I know we can't. Unbelievable. Everything about this man is totally been just beyond the pale. And we let him do it. And Stephanie Bridget, you let him do it. You've had all these different things. Richard Gallardo sent in an email to you, sent you information, and you don't even respond to him. Who are you? I guess we should be afraid, because you could do something to us, couldn't you? Is she above? And this is a question. Is she above? Is Stephanie Bridget above putting herself in the position of being able to intimidate Alyssa McEwen, Ronin Lund, Carlos Zapata, to do these types of things to our citizens, our law-abiding citizens? Does she have the right to do that? No. Is she doing that? Well, that's questionable, isn't it? Was there an antique fire engine behind car fire lines? Yes, there was. How did it get out of there? When did it get out of there? Why is it that it isn't malfeasance with Modi and misfeasance? Why did the grand jury lower that? Why did they do that? Well, because maybe they didn't. Did the district attorney? Seriously? We cannot stand for this any longer. These people need to go. Big time. They need to go. Tomorrow, on Mountaintop Media, you go to mountaintopmedia.com. You can watch the podcast live. You can also get it archived. You can get it on YouTube. You can get it on Jefferson State of Mind, M-I-N-E, Facebook. Mm-hmm. And we'll be talking about a lot of these issues and how the Founding Fathers, in their wisdom and their brilliance, with the Declaration of Independence as a starting point, that'll tie into, as we did a bit today, that ties into the California Constitution. And frankly, the California Constitution is gives you almost more rights than, or, well, that maybe that's the wrong terminology, but expresses more in detail what the founders brought forth in the Constitution. And oh, by the way, there's about 20 rights that we have when we talk about among these rights. When Jefferson said among these rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, there's about 20 of them. And we'll talk about that tomorrow on the podcast. But I recommend everybody watch that and share this stuff, you guys. Share this stuff and talk to these businesses in town. Talk to them all. Do what Sutter County did. Those guys sent that resolution off. Hey, how about San Joaquin County? They sent their health department head, which is our Karen Randstrom, you'd never see that happen, to Sacramento to say, you know what? Hey, you know what? We're not going to comply with this vax crap. We need our nurses. We need our doctors. We had several of them at our little event yesterday in the park. What great young people. What great young people. A devoted nurse whose husband's a nurse. They have two beautiful kids, and they are willing to leave their job if they have to get this vaccination. We lose two wonderful medical professionals. How long are you going to stand for this? If you want to take the vax, knock yourself out. If you want to take all the boosters, knock yourself out. You can be like the guy in the grocery store line the other day. You know, he's going on his third one. Whoop-de-doo. Well, I don't know. Any side effects with those?
The pink mustache is next.
That's true.
Yeah.
So, hey, you know, where do we stand with all this? Where do you stand with all this? I mean, yeah, you've got to say no. N-O. No. And what does that take? Next week, I'm going to have Jesse Lane on the program here. And Jesse's an interesting young man. Stands for freedom and liberty. We need to take all the groups that stand for that, all of us together, to say, no, we shall not, we will not comply. We shall not, we will not comply. We need to understand the Constitution, and that's why on Mountaintop Media, we are doing what we're doing as far as expressing the, talking about the Constitution of the State of California, the United States, the Declaration of Independence, and tying it all into where we are with local government right now. And I think the importance of that is really something that is going to be helpful. And we try to do that in a way to where you can actually understand it, and you're not, you know, just pulling your eyelashes out, going, "Oh my gosh, here comes another legal thing I don't understand." So hopefully we can articulate this to where it's absolutely understandable. That was the thing about Ronald Reagan. One of the things that I enjoyed about him, he was so great at taking the hard to understand issues and using most of the time humor to bring about understanding. Mark Baird does that too, has a great, great method of that. And Chris Ann Hall. Oh man, if you're not watching Chris Ann Hall, you need to. KRISANNEHALL. So with that, I have about 40 seconds left. I just want to remind everybody to stand for liberty. Time has come for 51 representation. We need to get it done. God bless you all.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. It's not our bill. We had no say. You don't serve us. You serve LA. The time has come for 51.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.